Now, what are the facilities they have been provided to the exporters? One is a direct financial assistance. If you want to export plant, equipment, machinery, or related service you want to extend in the form of medium term or credit term period exceeding 6 months, and to enable the exporters to extend this deferred credit means longer period of realization from the overseas buyer, they finance to directly finance to these exporters, those who are into export of these equipment and machinery. Then overseas investment finance. The Indian promoters of the joint ventures to support their equity investment abroad. Overseas buyers credit to the foreign importers for import of Indian capital goods and related services also they are providing. The Exim Bank also provides the re-lending facility to the banks, overseas banks, by means of which what they can do, they will provide the term finance to the importers for the import of Indian goods. See, it is not only supporting the trade in India, but also the buyers of Indian traders abroad, they are also getting financed by the Exim Bank. Then lines of credit. The foreign government and the financial institution for import of Indian capital goods and related services to enable them to turn on lend fund to the importers of Indian capital goods in their country. So lines of credit are also provided by the Exim Bank to foreign government to import the Indian machinery and capital goods. Then rediscounting of export bill facility is also provided to the banks for a period not exceeding 90 days against the short-term usance export bills discounted by the eligible commercial banks. And refinancing of export credit to the eligible commercial banks in India against their medium to long-term post-shipment credit to Indian exporters of capital goods. That is all about the Exim Bank. Now we will turn to understand the National Housing Bank, NHB. This National Housing Bank is a state-owned bank, and the regulatory authority in India established under Section 6 of National Housing Bank Act 1987, and it came into existence on 8th July 1988 under the Act of Parliament and the headquartered in Delhi. This is the body that is NHB, National Housing Bank, is responsible for regulating and refinancing the social housing activities, which includes the research also. It is owned by Reserve Bank of India and was established to promote private real estate acquirers. It also aimed to promote inclusive expansion with stability in the housing finance sector. The mission statement, like NABARD, NHB also has got their mission statement, and this statement is to harness and promote the market potential to serve the housing needs of all the segment of the population with focus on low and moderate income housing. Low and moderate income housing. To promote a sound, healthy and viable and cost-effective housing finance, catering to all segments and integrated housing finance in overall financial system. it also promote a network of dedicated housing finance institutions and make the housing credit more affordable. There are some challenges also for this. Therefore, NHB regulate the activities of the housing finance companies based on the regulatory and supervisory authority derived under the Act. It encourages increasing supply of buildable land, building material for housing. Issuance of the directive to the housing finance institution to ensure that the housing finance loan or advance of any other form, financial assistance, they may provide to the scheduled banks. And housing finance institution and other authority which are established under the Central or State Act or Provincial Act. So in short, indirect finance to the institutions. NHB also formulate the scheme for the purpose of mobilizing the resources and extension of the credit housing. One of the major activities of the NHB includes extending the financial assistance to various eligible bodies in the housing sector through 1. Refinance. Means providing the refinance to various primary lending institutions like Scheduled Bank, housing finance companies, cooperative sector, etc. And direct finance, it also provides the direct finance for integrated land development, then shelter project of the public agency in respect of the land development and housing infrastructure project. NHB, National Housing Finance Bank, we have seen how it works. Exim Bank, we have seen. NABARD, we have seen. These are specifically the banking institutions, which are the part of the Reserve Bank of India, and their function is the regulatory and promotional activities. Now, other areas like capital market and insurance market, these are the two important markets in the country. It was felt necessary by RBI and Government of India that exclusively to control the activities under the capital market and mutual fund, there must be an organization. And that is the reason how the SEBI came into existence. In April 12, 1988, through the resolution of the Government of India, non-statutory body SEBI has came into the existence. Okay. And this Securities and Exchange Board of India has started functioning from 1992. The main duty of the SEBI is to create and enforce the regulations for Indian capital market and financial market. This plays very important and vital role in maintaining the financial and the investment market efficiently and with the stability. Investor protection measures of the SEBI are in place to safeguard the investors from malpractices which are happening in the share market or stock market or mutual funds. Therefore, a complete body, that is Board of Directors, has been assigned with the different purposes or different activities. SEBI board is comprising of 9 members, and these 9 members are one chairman of the board who is appointed by the central government of India. Chairman of the SEBI appointed by the central government of India. Then one board member who is appointed by the central bank, that is Reserve Bank of India. Then 2 members are from Home Ministry. 2 members are from Home Ministry, Central Home Ministry. And 5 board members who are elected by the central government in India. Constitution, we are aware now about the SEBI. Now, let us understand clearly the purpose. The purpose of establishing the SEBI was to provide an environment that gives the way for mobilization and allocation of the resources, which provides the practices, framework, and infrastructure to meet the growing demand in the stock and security market. That is the reason why the SEBI came into existence. That was the purpose of establishment. That means need of the following group. One is the issuer. Issuer of instrument to play in the capital market. SEBI provides a marketplace that can be utilized for raising the funds. Then second aspect is the investors. Investors can be anybody. It may be entity or individual. It provides the protection and also supply of accurate information that is maintained with the regular basis. Then in between, intermediaries, which provides a competitive market for intermediaries by arranging a proper infrastructure. Having understood the scope or functions, let us understand the objective, purpose we have seen. Purpose of establishing the SEBI we have seen. Now, what are the objectives of the SEBI? Objective, one of the objective is investor protection. This is the most important objective of setting up of SEBI. This involves protecting the interest of the investor by providing the guidance and ensuring that the investment is done is a safe or not. Second objective is preventing the fraudulent practices and malpractices which are related to the trading and regulation of the activities of the stock exchange. Third one is to develop a code of conduct for financial intermediaries such as underwriter, broker, etc. so as to streamline the investors' funds and issuers' instrument to maintain a balance between the statutory and regulation and also the self-regulation. Protection functions. The protective functions and the role of SEBI is to protect the interest of investor and also that of other financial participants. The protective function includes insider trading. This act of buying or selling of the securities by the insiders of the company, which includes the directors, employees, and promoters. Price ringing is controlled by SEBI, which generally causes the unnatural fluctuation in the price of the security or shares by increasing or decreasing the market price of the stock. That leads to unexpected losses for the investors. That is also controlled by the SEBI. Guidelines are issued. SEBI promotes the fair trade practices and works towards the prohibiting the fraudulent activities related to trading of the securities. It also educates the investors by conducting online and offline sessions that provides the information related to the market insight and also on money management. Now the regulatory functions. Regulatory functions are very important as far as the rules and regulations for the financial intermediaries are concerned. So SEBI has defined the rules and regulation and framed the guidelines and code of conduct that should be followed by the corporates as well as the financial intermediaries. Taking over of company, specific regulations have been prepared by the SEBI. Conducting inquiry and audit of the stock exchanges, that is also specific guidelines has been issued. It regulates the working of the stock brokers, merchant brokers. For them also, guiding principles have been issued by the SEBI. These are the regulatory functions. Now, third one is developmental functions. This developmental functions includes the investors with the knowledge of trading. If they don't have, they will provide. And market function also, they have issued the guidelines. Some of the activities are included as the part of development activity consists of training of intermediaries who are part of the security market. Then introduction of the trading through the electronic means or through the internet by the help of the registered stock brokers and making the underwriting and operational optional system in order to reduce the cost of issue. Having understood the functions of one of the important apex body, that is SEBI, now we will move to the Insurance Regulatory Development Authority. Regulatory Development Authority, where life insurance is controlled and developed guidelines by this IRDA. This is IRDA's apex body that supervises and regulates the insurance sector in India. Primary purpose of IRDA is to safeguard the interest of the policyholders and ensure the growth of insurance in the country. It not only look the life insurance but also general insurance companies operating within the country is also getting inspected or regulated by IRDA. In the broad classification of the insurance sector, two types: life insurance and second one is non-life insurance or general insurance. Life insurance sector covers the policies that ensures the safety of your life. And non-life and general insurance covers everything other than the life, which includes the health insurance, car insurance, two-wheeler insurance, home insurance, commercial insurance, travel insurance, and many more. Now, let us understand some of the duties, powers, and functions of Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India. As an insurance regulator, it is a responsibility of IRDA to issue a certificate of registration, renew, modify, withdraw, suspend, or cancel the registration of the insurance companies. IRDA protects the interest of the policyholders, specifies the code of conduct, qualification and practical training for the insurance intermediaries and agents, and also specifies the code of conduct for surveyors and loss assessors. Insurance Regulatory Development Authority also promotes an efficiency in conducting the insurance business. It promotes and regulates the firms that deal in insurance and reinsurance business. It levies fee and other charges for carrying out this business. IRDA also calls for the information, conduct inspections, inquires and investigate all the related parties to the insurance business. In addition to that, as far as duties, power and functions of IRDA is concerned, it also controls and regulates the rates and terms and conditions for the insurance policies. It regulates the investment of the funds by insurance companies. It regulates maintenance of the margin solvency. And it resolves the disputes between the insurers, intermediaries, and customers. IRDA specifies the percentage of the life and general insurance business that insurer has to do in rural and social sector. IRDA specifies the percentage of the premium income of insurers. It supervises the functions of the tariff or advisory committee. Now, IRDA's relationship with banks. Because you know, bank assurance is the one of the scheme that bank has floated. And bank assurance is an arrangement between the bank and insurance company through which the insurer can sell its product to the bank customers. The insurance company benefit from increased sale and broader client base without having to expand its sales force. Thus, the bank becomes the agent for the insurance company. IRDA has allowed the banks to act as a broker and sell the product of more than one insurer to increase the penetration of the sector across the country. Thus, the banks comes under the purview of IRDA, where bank insurance is concerned and bank insurance gets and regulated both by RBI and IRDA to ensure the smooth functioning within the framework of code of conduct for insurance. So friends, this is all about the 5 apex bodies that we have discussed in detail under the banking fundamental. Because anyhow, these 5 bodies, they have to depend upon the clients, which are the bank's customers. That is why there is a connection of these, all these bodies with the banks as well as the regulator are common. Banks are regulated by RBI and they are the subsidiaries of RBI or government subsidiaries which are controlled by the Reserve Bank of India. So having understood that, I hope you understood these all apex bodies very in professional manner. Thank you very much.